I want to welcome those of you in the Video Cafe. We're so glad that you're here with us. Thanks so much for joining us today. And we're in a series on Celebrate. And as Tyler kicked it off last weekend, did a wonderful message on our vision and where we're headed as a church. And I just want to encourage you to go online, if you would, if you missed that message, and hear about our reach vision as we are living into this purpose of CPC to reach people and follow Jesus. And we're excited about that. You saw a lot of these cards that are being passed out. They're on the back tables for you as well. But it just talks about our new purpose as a church, where we're headed, and on the backside, our vision, and then our path to get there in worshiping, connecting, and serving as you hear each weekend. And then on the left side, our goals and our hopes. And I think this is such an exciting time for CPC. We just had our membership class last weekend, and as we were standing and introducing ourselves to about 30 new folks that are just coming into CPC, one of our elders who's been here for many years, almost 40 years, said, you know, I am more excited now than ever before to be a part of CPC. And I believe God has such an exciting future in store for us, and it's going to take every one of us being involved in that. So we have these goals. I'm going to have her put them back up on the screen again. And our goal is that we hope at some point to get to 2,500 in worship together. That's one of our goals. These are what you might call BHAG goals, big, hairy, audacious goals, because we have a big God who can do big things, right? And so we're excited about increasing our worship services and folks that are coming. And then we want every CPCer to be a part of a group, and so either a life group or on some sort of Bible study group where we're connecting in community with each other. And then every CPCer serving. And I think that's God's hope for us, that we would be a worshiping community, that we would be connecting in small groups, life groups, and that we would be out serving God and His purposes for us. And so today I'm focusing on our theme of celebrating community, because God has placed us in this community for a reason. And He's given us the gift of community, and that is a huge gift for us. And we're going to look at what Scripture, what God's Word has to say to us about community and what God has in store for us. I don't think it's any mistake that our church has a long history, as you heard last weekend, 165-year history. And this church is called Community Presbyterian Church. And I just love that, because I hear that from new members all the time. As they get connected into community, they say, I understand now why it's called Community Presbyterian Church, because this is a place where I found just that. I've been able to connect with people, and that's our hope. You know, God is a God of relationships. We worship God the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. God's a God of relationships. And because God has created us, He's given you and I the gift of life. He's created us to live in relationship, not only with Himself and with His Son, Jesus, and with the Spirit at work in us, but in relationship with each other. We need each other. And God never intended us to do life alone. And we're going to see in Scripture why God's purpose for us is that we might be living in community with each other and understand the value of relationships with each other. I'm going to ask you, if you would, turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 27. That talks about how important it is to be a part of the body of Christ. Paul tells us this in verse 27, now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. In other words, you and I are a part of God's body, of the body of Christ. And the whole chapter goes on to say, if the foot was to say to the hand, I have no need of you, or if the eye was to say to the mouth, I have no need of you, it doesn't make you any less a part of the body. See, every member is essential. And every member has a part. And that's true here. We need every single person being a part of worshiping and connecting and serving together. And I think that's God's hope for us as we live in community with each other. I love getting to be a pastor here. And last weekend, I got to celebrate my 10-year anniversary here at CPC, and delighted to be a part of this staff. I think God's put together an incredible staff for us here and leadership team. And one of my favorite things as a pastor is getting to lead teams. And I just got to lead a great team of women who helped to put on a conference called Cultivate, this last weekend, Friday and Saturday. And we had Kelly Minter come out from Nashville, and she spoke about bearing fruit. And we looked at lots of different parts of God's word and how God calls us to bear fruit, be fruit bearers. It was just a great weekend together. There are a lot, the sanctuary was just packed with women. We had over 600 women who were part of it. But this is one of my favorite pictures from the weekend because it just visualizes the importance of community and connecting with each other. And we got an opportunity to do that. I am so grateful for our team of women that put this conference on. It took many hands, but each member was a part of it. And it just exactly, I think I just saw this scripture come to life over this weekend. I want to thank Kirsten Branch, who is our coordinator for the event, and then so many other folks, all the way to our all of our tech people and our facilities guys. We didn't have any bathrooms back up. That was a huge answer to prayer, actually. So would you thank all those that served for Cultivate? It was a great weekend. It was a wonderful outreach as we had people from all sorts of different states coming and being a part of this conference and many hearing God's word and his hope for them for the first time. And that is just a huge gift for us to get to do as a church. I think one of the number one things people struggle with today is loneliness and isolation and trying to find people, a community that they can connect with. You know, we live in a time in our world where we are more connected than ever, especially with social media. And yet, I find today that people are struggling with isolation and loneliness in a way that I've never seen before. And I hear it every time through our new members' classes and as people are just coming in. One of the number one questions people will ask as they're just beginning to come to worship here or just connecting to this church is, am I going to find a friend here? Am I going to find someone who cares about me and what's going on in my life? And God wants so much for us to know how much we are loved and valued and cherished by him. And then he's also given us this gift of community because God never intended us to do life alone, especially on this Christian journey that we're on our faith journey. God wants us to be in community with each other. But so many people are living isolated lives, and oftentimes we might think we're connected. But when you ask yourself the question, who would you call in the middle of the night if you were in a crisis? If you were really struggling and you needed to talk to somebody, who would you call? I hope that a name comes to mind for you, but I want you to know there are so many people that can't even think of one person. There's lots of folks who just can't even name one best friend. And that's never the way God intended. You know, Jesus, when he started his ministry, it started in community. He gathered together 12 disciples. And then his mission was accomplished through that small community of disciples. And so there's great power in community with each other. And I want us to take a closer look at what that means, because I think in every single heart, there is a hunger for community, to be connected. And I hope this is a place where people find friendships. They find places where they can really help people to know who they are, to be transparent with each other, because that's what God wants for us. God's word also tells us, a new commandment I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. And by this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. You see, God's word doesn't leave anyone out. Everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. You know, sometimes we look at that command, and that's Jesus' command to each one of us, and we think, well, that's not that hard. We can love each other. I try to do that the best I can, but that's an easy command to live out. But then think about it. Our speaker this weekend, Kelly Minter, reminded us that we think that it's easy to love, and then think about the person in your life right now that needs forgiveness, that needs you to forgive them. Think about someone. Does a name come to mind? Maybe someone that you're holding a grudge against right now. Or someone that you're just, if you're really honest, you're a little angry with, you're a little perturbed. Or how about this? Someone that you've been gossiping about. You see how it gets a little closer to home? It's hard for us to truly love each other. And it takes, I think, Jesus working in us through his Holy Spirit to allow that to happen, because God's love for us is very real through Jesus. And he gives us the power through his Holy Spirit to love in the ways that he loves us, and to learn to forgive each other in the ways that Jesus forgives us. See, when Jesus came into this world, he came to give us the gift of salvation, the gift of a relationship with his Father and with himself. But it didn't just stop there. It's not just the gift of salvation. And sometimes we stop there thinking, well, he gives us that opportunity to have eternal life. And yes, that's true. But also, God gives us the gift of transformation. He wants, through his Holy Spirit, to be doing a work from the inside out so that every day we're becoming more and more like Jesus. That's God's hope. That's his purpose for us. You know, William Barclay said, there's two greatest days in a person's life: the day you were born and the day you discover why. And I think that's really true. Many of us are going around life not really understanding our purpose. And God makes it very clear in his word. And God calls us to go and to make disciples of all nations. And then he tells us to love one another just as I've commanded you, that this way they'll know you're my disciples. And God's given us an incredible purpose and a plan and wants us to be doing that together. I think for many of us, our spiritual transformation, that transformation that God wants to do in our lives, happens most powerfully in groups. It happens when we're connected with each other. I know that's been true for myself and my husband, Rod, since we've been married, and we've been married almost 30 years now. We have always been a part of a life group. And those life groups have been friendships. We have some from 30 years ago that we're still very close friends with, that have walked this journey of life with us and prayed for us and encouraged us and held us accountable. God's word also tells us it's a place where we confess our sins to one another. And that's a harder thing to do, but it only happens when we begin to be transparent with each other. And we can be our real selves with one another. And I think that happens especially in groups as we come together. Last weekend, as I mentioned, we had our membership class. And every time people come into our membership class, we get to welcome these new people that are just coming into CPC. And you're going to meet many of them next weekend as we have our Celebrate Life service here in the sanctuary on Sunday. We're going to be doing baptisms and hearing testimonies, and it's just a wonderful new group of folks that are just coming into CPC, and I hope you'll join us next weekend to welcome them. But I have a testimony from just one of them who I asked her permission to share this, and I'm going to keep it anonymous for her, but she gave me her permission to share this with you, just her experience of how she's found community here at CPC, and I want to read it in her own words. She says this: I grew up in what you would call an unchurched family, and since my mother was forced into church as a child, she made it her plan to not push it on us and let us make our own decision. With that said, I never went to church, but at times I wanted to go, and I just never did. Flash forward to when I met my husband 16 years ago. I was still unchurched, and my husband was from a Catholic home who attended church regularly. He never pressured me to attend church with his family. He didn't pressure me to get married in a Catholic church and so on. When I became a teacher in the East Bay, I was teaching in many different public schools until an opportunity came up at a little Catholic school. I thought to myself, well, I've never thought I would be teaching in a Catholic school. And then she asked, would they accept a girl without a religion? While teaching there for 3 years, I attended Mass a few times each month, went through the Bible classes with my students, but for some reason, something was missing. Something just wasn't connecting with me. Last year, when a friend told me about a mother's group at CPC, I didn't even hesitate and I signed myself up. Looking for great moms to surround myself with and other children for my son to play with sounded like a great idea. I've been a part of Mothers Together for over a year now, and nothing has felt more right. I've now asked my husband to attend services with me, and we've been coming weekly for several months. Since coming to CPC, I have felt a warmth and connection with everyone here. I don't feel alone when going through difficult times because there's always someone here to walk along with you. My son, who's 2.5 years old, has come home from CPC singing "Jesus Loves Me" and praying before our meals. All this he's learned from the wonderful people who serve in the Children's Ministries programs. And then she says, "How adorable is that?" Something has clicked and truly made me feel that this is the place for me. And well, right now, I wouldn't call myself the unchurched girl any longer. Isn't that great? I'm so grateful for that and for her experience. Because one of the things I think that she's learning, as many of us do, is it's really not about a religion. It's about a relationship. It's about a relationship that Jesus wants to have with you and with me, and the relationship that he wants us to form as his community of faith, and how important that is. I think for many of us, we need to be actually saved from religion and understand that God wants to have a relationship, and that there's absolutely nothing that we've done to earn that. It's what Jesus has done. And we see that every time we come to his table. We're reminded of the incredible sacrifice he made for you and for me. And he's given us this opportunity to not only have a relationship now forever with his Father and with himself, but with each other. So I want us to look at some of the benefits of community. And the first one is simply this. We get to know Jesus better when we're in a group together, when we're in God's word together and praying together and getting to know one another on a deeper level, where we're holding each other accountable and where we're open and honest with each other. And not only that, then afterwards we also get to know each other better. We get to be praying for each other, and we get to know people on a deeper level, more than just seeing each other at weekend worship services, but we get to go a level deeper in really being there for each other and walking alongside one another and knowing each other's hurts and pains and struggles, and also celebrating each other's joys and wonderful things that happen. I've seen that happen throughout the years in our life groups, and I'm so grateful for that. And then finally, it's a place where we can be known, where the masks come off and we're transparent with each other and we're willing to walk alongside each other and not give up on each other, but stick together for the long haul. You know, one of the things I've found that I truly believe is that there is no transformation without transparency. We have to be honest with each other and be able to really take the masks off and not just present our strong front, but also those areas where we struggle, where we have some brokenness and some pain, and where God is trying to do iron sharpening iron with each other. I want you to listen to this. You can only be loved to the extent that you are known. You can only be loved to the extent that you are known. And groups, being in a life group, helps us have a place where we can be truly known. That's why Jesus tells us in Matthew 18, "Wherever two or more are gathered in my name, there I am also. There I am in their midst." You know, Jesus himself is the one who gives us the courage and the strength to be real with each other, not just ideal, but real with each other, and have a safe place where we can do that. And that's why we want to be a church where you don't just go to life group, you just don't do life group, but you be in your life group. You be transparent with each other. I think the key to understanding community is really found in throughout Scripture with these two words. It's actually just one word in Greek, but in Scripture it's just the words "one another." There's all sorts of "one another's" throughout Scripture, and I'm just going to use a few of these because I think they describe really the benefits of community and why God wants us to be in community with each other. Beginning in Romans chapter 12, verse 10, it says, "Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves." I like the way that Eugene Peterson puts it in The Message. He says it this way: "Love from the center of who you are. Don't fake it. Be good friends who love deeply. Practice playing second fiddle." In other words, put other people's needs ahead of your own. Love in that way. Love deeply. My husband showed me a video on YouTube that has been around and actually has had like 150 million hits on it. I want to show it to you. It's a dad who's singing with his daughter, Claire, who's just 4 years old, just taken a few months ago. But this is a wonderful description of the way that we are to love each other. Let's take a look at this.
You got a friend in me. You got a friend in me. When the road looks rough ahead and you're miles and miles from a nice warm bed, you just remember what your old pal said. Yeah, you got a friend in me. Girl, you got a friend.
Enough said, right? I just love that video. I never get tired of watching it. It's just a reminder of God's hope for us and the kind of friendship that he gives to us with himself and then with each other, that we have friends that stick it through to the end, that we stick with one another. And I just love little Claire's feet wiggling, little toes wiggling as she's singing. And I think that's God's hope for all of us, that we might experience that kind of love and friendship with each other. God's word also tells us in Romans chapter 15, verse 7, welcome one another, therefore, as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. And how important it is that we have a welcoming presence. That's an area that we want to continue to strengthen here at CPC. And I'm so delighted for so many people who have this kind of welcoming presence. I want to highlight just a couple of them. One is my dear friend, Gail Faber, and here's a picture of Gail. Gail's here in our sanctuary. I know she doesn't like to have her picture up there, but I just love Gail. She's part of my prayer team, but Gail is here every weekend helping to welcome people to CBC. In fact, she moves around in the sanctuary. She's always sitting in a different place because she always wants to find somebody new who's just coming in and maybe invite them to brunch or just help them to know that they have a place here. And I'm so grateful for Gail's attitude, for the faith that she has in Christ and her desire to love in the way that Jesus loves others. And she does that every weekend. And then also Harry Baggett, whose picture is here. And Harry is just one of our greeter team and loves to be out there. If you talk to Harry, he just loves to greet new people. You know, he lost his wife about a year and a half ago, Jackie, and he loves to come and just serve and be a welcoming presence. And he was out there with his cap and his tie on at Easter, welcoming all the folks who are coming for the very first time. You know, both of these folks, they are just about 2 years apart in age. One of them is turning 90 this year. Actually, I'm not going to tell you who. But I'm just so grateful They are two of the most chronologically gifted people here at CPC, and I am just delighted to have them on our welcome team, and I hope more and more folks also emulate that kind of a welcoming spirit. God also tells us in Galatians chapter 5, verse 13, serve one another humbly in love. And how God calls us to be people who serve with each other. And one of the best ways we can serve is in doing something like that, or being on children's ministry team or on our welcome team, but also getting to go with our life groups and going serving God. Our life group did this just several months ago where we went over to City Team, and there's a picture of our life group. And we together helped to remodel one of the rooms there for the men that are in recovery at City Team. And it was just a wonderful opportunity for us to spend the weekend together on this project. And that's something that every life group can do together. Just find a place to serve and to make a difference. And so I know God calls us to do that, that we might have a heart for the poor, for those that are in need, for those that are hurting and broken. And there's ways that we can serve together. And then Galatians chapter 6, verse 2 tells us, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. And then again in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11, encourage one another and build one another up just as you are doing. Bear with one another and encourage one another. Build each other up. Don't let anything come out of your mouth that's not edifying, but only for the building up of the body. And God wants us to be doing that with each other. And I'm so grateful for the people in my life that have helped me to learn from their example of doing just that, of loving me even in the midst of my own brokenness and times that I don't get it right and my own failures. One of my first experiences of this was when I was joined a summer staff for the very first time at Calvin Crest conferences. And here's a picture of me at Calvin Crest on summer staff. That's me on the far right. And that was my first time as I was in college joining a summer staff. This was the camp where God got a hold of me for the very first time in middle school, and I gave my life to Christ. I eventually joined summer staff at a time in my life that I was pretty lonely and hungry for community. And so this was a great place for me to get to serve. On my right is a guy named Brad Durley, who was my first boss, really, at camp, and his wife, Rachel, sitting next to him. And Brad, I got to serve with Brad that summer, and Brad had this prize green Mustang, convertible Mustang, that he just loved and adored. And one night, I was helping to run a fourth through sixth grade camp, serving on staff there with Brad, and then there were several other camps that ran at the same time. There was a junior high camp that was one of our wilderness programs, a few miles up above the main camp. And so one night I was asked to go up there and help with a campfire. And so a friend, another staff member, and I, Brad let us borrow his green Mustang to drive up there and help lead camp. So we did. We led campfire. And then they were putting all the campers back to bed. And we, my girlfriend and I, went back down to the Mustang, got in the car, and I was driving, and I started the ignition, and it wouldn't start. So I just kept trying again and again, because we were now really way out there amongst the giant sequoias. No electricity. It was time to get back to the other camp, and the car wouldn't start. Eventually, I just saw smoke starting to come out of the hood. And then the whole hood started to bubble. And there's no water anywhere. So I go into a little bit of a panic mode. I run up to the camp, grab some of the staff members without getting the kids alarmed. They run down, and we just start throwing dirt on the car, as much dirt as we possibly could, until we finally got the flames out. And by the time we got the flames out, the entire engine was just toast. All the hoses were melted, everything. It was ruined. And now it was time to go back and tell Brad what happened to his car. And I'll never forget that, because I was just a college kid. I had no money. I wasn't making very much money at camp. I had no way to pay him back and try to provide a new car or fix this car. And I always remember another friend drove me back down to the camp where Brad was, and I couldn't even get out of the car. I just sat in the passenger side, and I was just sobbing and crying. And they went and got Brad, and I'll never forget when Brad scooted in next to me, and he just turns, and I'm crying, snot's coming down my mouth. I mean, I just can't even speak. And he goes, "Hey, what's up?" And then I just splurted it out, you know, I ruined your car, I burnt it up. And I'm crying, I'm so sorry. And he just puts his arm around me and he goes, oh, Kathy, don't you know how much more important you are than that car? Cars can get fixed, but you are loved and you are forgiven right now. And I want you to know how much I care about you. And he extended me that hand of grace and forgiveness. And I was just broken. And I've never forgotten that and that moment because it changed me. I had never received it like that before. And that was Jesus in the midst as Brad was doing that for me. You know, just a few years later, Brad was called as a pastor to Sierra Vista Presbyterian Church in Oakhurst. It was a brand new church. He was the first pastor to be called to that church. And on the first day of work, as he was driving to church that day, he had a brain aneurysm. And he drove off a cliff and he was killed instantly. And God called him home. And you know, when I picture eternity, and I know one day God will call us home, that's a guarantee. One day when God calls me home, I know I'm going to see Brad again. And I can still hear his laugh. He had a very distinct laugh. And I can't wait to tell him how grateful I am for the grace and the love and the forgiveness that I received from him because of Jesus and his life and what he's done. And I, for the rest of my life, want to continue to give that kind of grace away in the ways that God has given it to me. You know, as Brad reached out his hand and put his arm around me, God does that for every single one of us. And Jesus is doing that for you today. He's just reaching out his hand and asking you, will you receive my forgiveness and my grace and my love for you that brings you into relationship with me and then with each other? And I pray if you haven't accepted that invitation from Jesus, that as we come to his table today, you might accept that. And know that you are a forgiven person, that there's absolutely nothing that you could do to deserve it, just as I couldn't. But God extends it to us. And then he asks us to continue to give it away to those around us. And I pray that we would be a people that do just that, as we live in community with each other. And we receive this wonderful gift of a relationship with Christ and a relationship with each other. What a gift God has given to us. Amen? Amen. I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to the video cafe this morning as we come to the communion table today. And thanks so much for joining us here in the sanctuary as we come to the Lord's table. You know, I don't think it's any mistake that this is called communion. And in the word communion is that word community, that we have this union with Christ. And God calls us into community with himself and with each other. We know that when Jesus prepared the meal, he had the disciples gathered together, his community of faith that was right there with him. And on the night of his betrayal, he took the bread, and after he blessed it, he broke it, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And after supper, he took the cup and he said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which was shed for the forgiveness of sins. Drink of it, all of you. For as often as you eat this bread and you drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again." And friends, he will come again and call us into eternity with him. This morning, as we come to the table, I'm going to encourage you just to take a piece of the bread and dip it into the cup and partake of this meal that the Lord has provided for all those who trust and believe in him. And as we come and we receive these gifts that God's given to us, we're nourished in our own faith journey that God has called us on. So as we take that bread and we taste of the cup, we know this incredible sacrifice that Jesus has made for us. We remember that. And then we're nourished as we eat the bread and drink the cup. And it's a reminder that God's Holy Spirit is at work in all of us. in helping us to become more and more like him, that we might be people who go and give his love away and share his grace and his forgiveness with those around us, with anyone that God has put you in community with. Those are the people we need to share that with. So this morning, as we come, I'm going to just ask you to follow the usher's instructions to come up to the front and partake of communion. There's a gluten-free table in the back for those of you with any food allergies. But let's come, taste and see that God's goodness and his grace for us today. I'm going to pray and ask the communion service to come up as I pray. Let's pray together this morning. God, thank you so much for these gifts that you've provided for us. God, we remember that you gave your life for us. It wasn't taken from you. You laid it down. Lord, and because of your sacrifice, because of your death on the cross, God, you took our sins once and for all, and they're nailed to the cross with you. Lord, we receive forgiveness from you for all of our own brokenness, not just today, but yesterday, today, and tomorrow, forever. God, thank you for the forgiveness that we have because of what you've done. Thank you for your blood, which was shed for us. And Lord, thank you that we have not only this wonderful gift of salvation, but the gift of transformation as your Holy Spirit works from the inside out in helping us to become more and more like you. And one day we look forward to the day, God, that we're going to get to see you face to face, that you're going to call us home, and we're going to celebrate around your table together in eternity. Thank you for the forever love that we have with you. Now help us to be people who love in the ways that you've loved and forgive each other in the ways that you've forgiven us, we pray. Lord, as we come to your table today, help us to taste and see again your love and your goodness for every one of us here. In Christ's name, amen.